Coming up on The Source, it's not an issue of whether Stage 3 water restrictions are coming to San Antonio. It's a question of when, and that's likely going to happen next month. There's no doubt that the drought is getting worse, water supplies are getting tighter, and the city is going to have to be smarter about how we use what's left of the wet stuff we have.
We've never declared Stage 3 before. This would be new territory for people.
We're going to hear from the San Antonio Water System about the toughest water restrictions ever to hit the city.
Just because your grass is off color doesn't mean it's necessarily dying. If you've got one of those drought-tolerant grasses, it's okay to have it not be so green in the middle of the summer. In fact, it's kind of natural for South Texas.
And later, Battleground Texas has a mission to turn the state into a competitive arena for Democrats. Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia explains the strategy for the Dems to take back Texas and how the Republican Party is fighting back. That's coming up on The Source, but first, the news. This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Be warned, Stage 3 water restrictions are coming to San Antonio Water System customers. The forecast for the toughest water restrictions ever was issued by SAWS earlier this week because they want water users to prepare and deal with it. In other words, kiss your grass goodbye. Karen Guz is the conservation director for SAWS.
Well, Stage 3 is not imminent, but it could be very early summer when we hit Stage 3. We are still in Stage 2, which allows everyone to use spray irrigation one time a week on their watering day. But we're concerned that the aquifer is likely to drop significantly more in the summer because, frankly, that's what it usually does.
I guess we're way behind on our rainfall.
Well, it's an interesting phenomenon that even though last year we got a fair amount of rain in San Antonio, and it was wonderful for our landscape, unfortunately, the region didn't get a lot of rainfall over the extended recharge zone that puts water into the Edwards Aquifer. We also didn't get a lot of rain over Medina Lake and some other areas in the Hill Country. So this is our third year in a row of the region being very dry.
So is there anticipation, or are we working towards rain could always come. You never know here in San Antonio.
You never know.
Usually when you do declare Stage 3 is when we have a huge flood. But
well, we've never declared Stage 3 before. This would be new territory for people. But we would need, in order for the deficit of water that our region is experiencing to really break, we would need to have not just one rain event or two rain events. We'd need a lot of rain before summer in order to break the cycle.
Okay, so something that's probably out of the range of probability.
You know, this is South Texas, so we never say never. The only weather forecasts we can go by, though, are telling us that it may be a warmer and drier spring than even normal.
So let's talk about where we are on the aquifer as far as the measurements go to give us an idea where we are now and where we should be.
Well, we are at about 650, and that is a good like 19 feet below where we'd like to be for this time of year. So that's starting out low in Stage 2 conditions for us. And then what often happens is once the agricultural demand on the Edwards Aquifer picks up as the farmers get their crops in the ground, the aquifer often drops quite a bit in the spring. That hasn't happened yet, but we're thinking we may see it fairly soon. So if that agricultural demand picks up in the next month or so, we're thinking that we could drop that next 10 feet down that would get us to the trigger point for Stage 3.
What would Stage 3 mean for household usage?
Well, the key thing for people to remember is that you can only use your spray irrigation on what we call the on weeks. So there would be weeks when we would ask everyone to not use any spray irrigation or soaker hoses. That means no hose end sprinklers or automatic sprinklers. But you could still hand water during that week. So we'd have an on week when you get your one day to use sprinkler irrigation, and then we have an off week. And that off week gives the aquifer an opportunity to stabilize, we hope, and it reduces how much water everybody uses overall.
Now, SAWS has been very good at coming up with alternative water resources. I know you've been banking water. Where are we on those issues?
We have a lot of water banks, so that's great news for this summer, and it's going to make the summer easier to bear, because we're bringing back water today from that water bank when we saved for a drier day that is now here. so that's great news. We still need help from our customers, too. This is going to require us to use some of our water bank, not all of it, but we're going to use a good chunk of that this summer. And we're also going to ask our customers to help out and really be careful about how much water they use on their lawn.
I mean, we have a water bank, but the water bank is not infinite.
Well, it's not infinite, but there's also the matter of, unfortunately, we don't know when the drought is going to end. We've had droughts in Texas that have gone on for 7 years, and this is the third year. So it's in our plan to use a significant amount of the water bank, but we're not planning to drain it. So we're going to have an approach that we think is pretty careful, and that's use some of that water bank like we planned on for a year like this, and then also be careful and how much water we use. And the combination of those two strategies is going to be how we'll get through a pretty harsh drought period. But it'll be fine if when we deploy those two things.
So we're in stage two right now. How long have we been in stage two?
We've been in stage two coming up on a year. So it's been a long time. People maybe haven't been aware because it's been so nice outside and it's been cooler weather. So they haven't, maybe they've just gotten used to it. So stage two has been around for a while, but the big news is that, unfortunately, we may have to go to a deeper level of restriction than we've done before. One of the things that we're asking people to really think about is that if it doesn't rain and we have to go to this stage three, your established plants are going to be okay. But if you plant a lot of new things, you may have to really baby them, hand watering them. So think hard about how many plants you put in and choose ones that are able to take the heat and won't need as much pampering in order to get through what could be a long, hot summer.
Because you hear that often, I just planted my whole yard, I just saw this landscaping. Mm-hmm. Now we go to stage three and all those thousands of dollars that I invested in the ground are going to dry up and go away.
Well, there is good news. If you already resodded your lawn, don't go into panic mode here because you need a couple weeks to get that grass to a point where you can wean it off for more frequent watering. And so realize that if you have already planted, you can call us and we can give you some advice on getting that grass weaned off of needing water as its roots get established. But if you haven't laid sod down yet, I would really think hard about it and maybe wait until after this drought breaks to get that done.
What about backyard gardeners?
You mean people who have vegetables and things like
that? Yeah, people want to grow those tomatoes.
If you have drip irrigation or you hand water your vegetables, you really don't need very much water for that. Most people who do backyard vegetables and herbs do it in a small raised bed or a small area. And if you put a gallon or two on that every once in a while, you're not using an excessive amount of water. So I wouldn't discourage that activity. It's interesting to know that the thing that uses the most water is trying to keep grass green. So we say to people, just because your grass is off color doesn't mean it's necessarily dying. If you've got one of those drought-tolerant grasses, it's okay to have it not be so green in the middle of the summer. In fact, it's kind of natural for South Texas.
Now, San Antonio Water System, you make your money by selling water. And so when we tell people we're going into stage three water restrictions, then people use less water. And then, of course, saws is an important part of San Antonio's, you know, economy and stuff. So what happens when you guys cut back on water sales like that?
Well, we plan for this. San Antonio Water System is in a very strong financial position. And we have folks who analyze the circumstances. And it's important to remember a couple things. One is that we're not cutting back all landscape watering. This is not a ban on landscape watering. So we know we're still going to sell some water. We also still have revenue from sewer, and we have funds that are established to get through periods if we have a slightly reduced revenue for a while. So we're going to be okay. We're going to be pretty careful, as always, here at SAWS with the ratepayer money. But it's not going to be a problem for us. So we're pretty unique in actively encouraging people to use less of our product, especially during these drought periods when we know it's the smart thing to do.
So stage three, we can see it coming at us. Mm-hmm. The first time we've ever had to have stage three here in San Antonio. And what happens next? Where's stage four?
Stage four can be triggered 30 days after stage three if it's determined to be necessary. Now, that's a difficult question. I know where you're going to go next. You're going to say, well, how do you know if it's necessary? Well, that's we like to think of this as a common sense portion of the ordinance, in that we're able to look at how everything's going, how much water are people using today, how's our available supply, and what does the forecast look like. So if we trigger stage three, we're going to be asking those questions every day. And by the time we get to that 30-day mark when it would be possible to trigger stage four, we'll have a pretty good sense of whether or not, frankly, we need it to reduce demand some more.
You know, it does seem like San Antonio is, you know, ahead of the curve in dealing with these issues, but that curve seems to be catching up with us pretty quick. Other parts of Texas, certainly not as well prepared as Saws, but still, that's not much of comfort.
Well, it's a tough thing to be in drought restrictions at any time, and we always dislike it here at Saws as much, or probably more, than all of our customers do. But it is good to put it in perspective that most of Texas is in a drought stage of some kind. And in fact, over 1,000 water utilities across Texas are in drought restrictions, just as we are in San Antonio. Now, that's not great news, but it does put it in perspective that we're not alone in this. This drought is extending up through a lot of the country, the Southeast, California. Large parts of the United States are just in a dry period right now. But you're right, San Antonio is much better prepared than so many other places, and we're really confident we're not going to run out of water.
But it's going to take all of us together, working together, you know, consumers.
We have to work together. You're absolutely right. We need to work together during droughts, but San Antonians have always done this well in other droughts. So I'm confident that we're going to manage through this together again. One of the great things about the way San Antonians engage in these issues is that the rules for stage three and stage four weren't just decided last week. These have been worked out over a 10-year period with a lot of people giving input and thinking through them to make sure that they're fair, they're reasonable, and that we're still allowing people the use of some water to retain the health of their landscapes. We're just asking them to cut back. We're not going to a ban. We're just saying the drought keeps getting worse. We have to all be more and more careful with how we use that water.
Sure, and input from the business community as well.
That's a great point. The business community has been very supportive of taking a look at drought periods and saying, well, we may have to cut back and not have our grass be as green, but it's a really good thing that never in our drought rules are we facing a circumstance where the water we need inside our homes would be cut back, or the water we need to keep business operating here. That's always secure.
You know, when one person decides they're going to not follow the rules and they water, and pardon the pun, but it does seem to have a cascade effect, because other people look at that person saying, well, his lawn is green and my lawn should be green too.
Well, we need everybody working together. I take a lot of phone calls during droughts, and the people who are the most upset during drought are the ones who are worried that there's not enough education or enforcement going on. I've actually had people call and apologize after they got a citation because they said, I made a mistake and I didn't realize that I was not paying enough attention to my irrigation controller, and I'm embarrassed.
Speaking of citations, I mean, so when do the water police start going out there and enforcing stage three?
They're out there now enforcing stage two. So people should be aware that even though it hasn't felt as though we're in a drought, we are. And please know when your watering day is. And we are reminding people that the watering times changed. We hope they're easier to deal with than they used to be. The new watering times are 7 to 11 a.m. and 7 to 11 p.m. on your watering day. So we have officers out there every night watching, and most people have been following the rules. But they'll be out there continually when stage three comes, if it has to.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We've been talking with Saws Director of Conservation Karen Guz about these stage three water restrictions that are coming to San Antonio, expected to hit in May. It means very limited hours for lawn watering, and it's a sign that the drought continues to worsen and needs to be taken seriously by all. There's more coming up on The Source. Battleground Texas wants to turn the state into a two-party system, Democrats and Republicans. We're going to hear from San Antonio Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia about their plans. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In last November's presidential election, President Barack Obama received 41% of the vote in Texas. And looking at the race by counties, the only blue on the map is the major urban counties and along the Texas-Mexico border. It doesn't look promising that Texas will become a two-party state anytime soon. The last time a Democrat was elected to a statewide office was in 1994. Republicans control all the statewide Texas offices, both houses of the state legislature, and have a majority of the Texas congressional delegation. This makes Texas one of the most Republican states in the United States. So when the organization Battleground Texas says it's going to change the political landscape in the state and give the Democrats a foothold, there's a lot of interest. San Antonio Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia writes about Battleground Texas in his Wednesday column.
Well, I think one of their primary objectives is to register and turn out more Latino voters. Certainly they want to get more Democrats in general to the polls, but studies have found that we have a pretty low percentage of Latinos who are registered and are turning up at the polls. And Jeremy Byrd, who's the driving force behind Battleground Texas, was the field director for Barack Obama's 2012 campaign, and he has pretty strong history of getting people to the polls and you know, working on campaigns and building up grassroots organizations.
Well, Governor Rick Perry has commented on these guys, and I think they've called it a pipe dream, that this is not going to happen. Is it wishful thinking that they're going to be able to turn Texas purple than blue?
Well, one thing that was really interesting to me was, you know, the crowd is really dominated by a lot of veteran members of the Bexar County Democratic Party organization, a lot of precinct chairs, and you know, anyone who's been to Democratic Party meetings in Bexar County in recent years knows that you'll often find a lot of frustration, some backbiting, a lot of inner turmoil. And it was really interesting to see how energized and confident this group was. There was a certain sense that I think Byrd was conveying that this isn't something that we're going to try to do. This is something that's going to happen. And the question is just a matter of how long it's going to take. And he made it clear that it was a long-term goal, that Democrats can't start knocking on doors a month before an election. They can't simply approach people who have turned out in the past. They have to reach those voters who are not voting regularly. They have to really go neighborhood by neighborhood. And I think that for Democrats who've sort of had this idea that demographics would take care of everything, that we're going to see more Latinos who are voting age in the state over the next 10 years, and that's everything's just going to happen on its own, I think he was very clear that that's not a strategy. But the sort of really aggressive grassroots effort that he's talking about, it sounds like there's a good chance this could happen.
But you talk about the Latino low voter turnout, but that's a Texas phenomenon. In other states, it's not like that.
That's true. And he pointed to Jeremy Byrd pointed to a recent study that found that in Colorado, I think you had about 60% of Latinos there saying that they had been approached by a campaign during the election cycle. And in Texas, that figure was somewhere around 25%. So I think his belief is that those votes are there. And this is something that was always interesting to me about the approach that the Barack Obama campaign in 2008 and 2012 took, which was they didn't worry too much about what the polls were saying. They had some really strong people working on the ground and who knew what was going on, and they basically said, you know, we need a certain number of votes. Those votes are there. Our job is to get those people to turn out, and if we do that, we're going to be fine. And in some way, it was almost like they were competing against themselves. They weren't really that worried about what the opposition was doing. It was, we've got a certain number of votes that we need, and we know that they're there, and our job is to get them. And his the discussion on Sunday when Jeremy Bird was here was very similar to that.
Now, Julian and Joaquin Castro, what role do they have in this battleground Texas?
Well, you know, they were there on Sunday, and you know, I think that they both emphasized the fact that this isn't going to be if there's going to be a turnaround in Texas, it's not going to cheat by one, you know, charismatic figure or one popular figure. And I think a lot of people in San Antonio probably thought, and even outside of San Antonio, have thought, if Julian Castro runs for governor, this is going to really electrify the party and make a big difference. And I think they, without discussing their own political plans, I think it was clear that they wanted to make people know that this has to be achieved, you know, sort of brick by brick, and it's not like one candidate is going to turn this around. Obviously, if in the next 5 years or so, Battleground Texas is able to achieve what they want to achieve, then we could have a very different playing field for Julian Castro if he's interested in running for governor, Joaquin Castro if he's interested in running for senator, and of course this is all just conjecture on the part of people, but the objective is to make the playing field more favorable so that when the time comes, they'll have a decent chance.
Gilbert Garcia is a columnist for the San Antonio Express News. He wrote about Battleground Texas in his Wednesday column. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Starting April, The Source is moving. The show will become a live, hour-long program that's going to take listener phone calls. So look for The Source Monday through Thursday at 3 o'clock, starting April 1st. I hope you'll tune in, and I hope you'll call in. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of TPR operations. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.